is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord is good. Okay, today I want to do things in two parts. Last Sunday when Pastor Roy was speaking, he was talking about the Christ of the Christmas. He said a lot of the stories around the Christmas, we assume and we get them wrong. So when he was saying all of that last week, I said, okay, maybe we just do the first part of today. We'll do a refresher course on our understanding of the Christmas story. Because we sing a lot of things, and a lot of the things we sing are just not actually in Scripture. So, the first part of today, I want us to go through that refresher. So, the guy there, can you do the Christmas trivia quiz for me, please? So, let's see how much of it we can agree with or recognize. Okay? Christmas trivia quiz. Okay? First question. How did Joseph and Mary travel to Bethlehem? Is it by donkey? By camel? On foot? Or the Bible doesn't say? Sorry? Donkey? Okay. Okay, what's the answer, please? Next one. The Bible doesn't say. The Bible doesn't say, but we sing all sorts of songs. But the Bible doesn't actually say that they went on my donkey or my foot. Okay, the next question, please. Which animals were present at Jesus' birth? Cows, sheep, and goats? Cows, donkeys, and sheep? Sheep and goats? Or the Bible doesn't say? What's your take? Okay. What's the answer, please? The Bible doesn't say. You see, that's the interesting thing, that we sing all these songs and we assume that that is what the Bible has said. Okay. Third question, please. Awake. Third question, please. Okay, what did the angels sing? Joy to the world. Hallelujah, for unto us a child is born. Glory to God in the highest. So, what do you say? What's your take? Glory to God in the highest. Okay? Answer, none of the above. You see, the Bible doesn't say they sang. I said, what song did they sing? But the Bible didn't say they sang. Okay, next question, please. Just helping ourselves. How many wise men came to see Jesus? Three? More than three? Less than three? Three? Okay. What do you say? Okay, what's the answer, please? The Bible doesn't say. Let's just refresh our memory on some of the things we... Okay, what's the next question, please? Where did the wise men find Jesus? This should be easy. In the manger? In a stable? In a house? Or in an inn? What do you say, church? Manger, stable, sorry? In the stable. What's the answer, please? In the house. Jesus was well past the manger when the manger came. Okay, the last question, I would think. Now, what is frankincense? Precious metal? precious fabric, a precious perfume, or an Easter monster? Okay, what's the answer, please? A precious perfume. Okay, so where do we find all these stories? Last question. Why do we find the Christmas story in order to check up on all these for us? Is it in Matthew's, Mark's Gospel, Luke's Gospel, John's Gospel, or all of them? Or is it in Mark and Luke alone, or Mark and, or Matthew and Luke alone, or Mark, Matthew, Mark, and Luke? So, or none of the above? What do you say? You say G, yeah? Okay. That is Matthew and Luke only. What do you say? H? Okay, what's the answer, please? You'll find the Christmas story only in Matthew and Luke's Gospel. Okay. So, just to refresh our memory. So, everything I've shown you today, you can find in the Bible I do recommend for you, the Daily Walk Bible. Okay? Father God, thank you that you came. You came in the human flesh because we are lost in our sins. And as we celebrate now, we ask God that again you will quicken our minds and our thoughts. Enrich our understanding of your word. Help us, Lord, to grow in our love of you, in our worship of you, and in our service to you. Teach us through your word now, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. It is good to read the word of God. It is good to read and to understand. It is also good to read, to understand, and to apply. It is in the application of it that our understanding of it grows. Now, we call Jesus Christ the Savior. But somebody can be a savior for you in a situation. If, for instance, there is fire in a place and the firemen go there and they rescue people from the blaze, at that time, the firemen are saviors of the people. What they've done is to rescue the people from death. Certain death. We have heard of situations where people were stuck in the mine, and people had to dig tunnels in order to get them out. Those who have done that job for that period have saved those people. So for specific situations, you have someone you can refer to as a savior. Say, for instance, you are stuck in a deep financial rut, and somebody just comes and gives you some money to take you out of that big financial hole. For you, that person is a rescuer. It's a savior for you at that time. Now, I want to look at two stories of two people, two saviors in Scripture, but saving in different situations. But both of them were foretold, both of their birth were foretold by angels. The first one I look at is in the Old Testament. And we talk of the birth of Samson. Okay, let me read to you from the book of Judges. Judges chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Here we are. His birth is foretold by an angel to a barren couple. The child to be a Nazarite, that is, razor must not touch his ear. But his purpose will be to deliver his people from oppression, because they were under oppression of the Philistines. So, he who delivers, what do you call that person? A savior. He's a deliverer, he's a savior. So he was going to rescue his people from oppression from under the Philistines. But this was a child born out of intimacy between the husband, Manoah, and the wife. His birth foretold by an angel given to a woman who was barren. And think of it. The people of Israel had been under oppression for 40 years. And now the angel comes and says, this woman is going to give birth, or is going to be pregnant, give birth. And thereafter, is this child that will begin to deliver the people. Think of that. People who have been under oppression thinking, oh, a child that is yet to be born is going to be the one that will rescue us. So our oppression still continues for quite a while. Because it's not after the child, immediately the child is born, that you have the strength to be able to deliver them from under oppression. But thank God that God works things in his own ways. His wonders to perform. Now let's look at the other story. The other story which we are all gathered around at this time. The story we camp around at this time of the year. Part of it was read this morning by Isabel. Actually, it was read this morning by Isabel. But let me take out of it. Verse, the angel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son." The angel came to Manoah's wife and said, "You will conceive and bear a son." Now this angel has come to Mary and said, "You will conceive and bear a son. I shall call his name Jesus." In the other case, the angel didn't say, "You will call the child Samson." But here, he says, "You will call the son Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father." What I'm reading is in Luke chapter 1, which Isabel read this morning, 26 to 33. "And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." The other part of it in Matthew's gospel, we read where Mary, being betrothed, now suddenly finds herself going to be pregnant, and the husband thinking, "I'm not responsible for this. It's time I ditch this woman. Let me quietly, not to embarrass her, let me quietly divorce her." The angel of the Lord now came to him. And we read this in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 21. The the angel of the Lord said to Joseph, she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. Of the other son, said he will begin to deliver his people from oppression. But here it says, this son shall save the people from their sins. That's the difference. However, Jesus' birth was also foretold by an angel to a betrothed virgin girl. This was confirmed in a dream to her fiancé, Joseph. The child will be raised in Nazareth. That's why they call Jesus of Nazareth. This was pregnancy that was effected by the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of this son to save the people from their sins. At the birth of Samson, there were no angels to come and announce when he was born. But when Jesus Christ was born, the angels came. Did they sing? Just a quick reminder. But we, who are the beneficiaries, we sing. And we sing, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let us receive a king. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing. We are the ones who sing the song. But the angels came and said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men. So, thank God that we are the recipients of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, the great thing about the birth of Jesus Christ is that he who had everything at his command, who had everything at his beck and call, he who had all the riches of the world, because everything was made for him and by him, he who had the whole world in his hand, left all of the glory and all of the riches in order that you and I can become rich. You know, Jesus Christ was born poor in order to make us rich. He who had all of the greatest things of heaven, even at the time he was going to be born, could not be born in the best hospital environment because the parents could not find a better, decent place for him to be born. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Him, rich in everything, but for our sakes became poor, that we might be rich. Though he was rich, God's Son, Jesus Christ possesses all the glory and majesty of God. He could claim the love, worship, and service of men, for he is their creator. He could claim all of the world's wealth, for it is his. He could walk among men with all the majesty of God, for he is the Son of God. Yet, he became poor. He who owns all things was born in a stable. And during his life on earth, he had no place to lay his head. It's incredible. Incredible. He who could claim the homage of all men yet allowed men to despise him and abuse him. This is the Christ we come to celebrate at this Christmas season. He who had all the wealth at his beck and call, yet left everything. He became poor, in order that you and I may be made rich. That's why I love one of our Christmas, one of the Christmas carols. Thou who was rich, beyond all splendor, all for love's sake, became as poor. Froze for a manger, this surrender, suffer because for stable floor. Thou who was rich, beyond all splendor, all for love's sake, became as poor. For my sake, for your sake, you had all the wealth of the world at his beck and call, because all things were created for him and by him. Yet, he left all of the glory of heaven, in order that he might reconcile us back to God. In order that we, our sins, can be forgiven. In order that we who wandered away from the truth, from the light, might be brought back from darkness, from falsehood, into truth, and from darkness into light. Thou who art Lord beyond all telling, civil and king, we worship thee. Emmanuel, within us dwelling, make us what thou wouldst have us be. Thou who art Lord beyond all telling, Savior and King, we worship. What is our calling at the Christmas season? Our calling is to make this Christ known to everybody. Make him known as the author of life. Make him known as the giver of life. Make him known as the savior of the world. You and I, who already have come to know him and receive him, ask us to also share the same good news. Because it is good news that we, who are once not a people, are now the people of God. We who had no hope are now a people with hope. Like at the time I was sharing here, and I said, part of shining your light or shining our light is to bring hope to people who are despondent, because we carry the hope of the Lord. The hope of God, which is not the wishy-washy, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. We have a hope that is steadfast and certain, going through the curtains and touching the throne. Glory to God. See, what do we say? What does the gospel really stand for? Please put that little page up for me. Let's see what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we have the gospel in there. If you and I have put our trust in Jesus as the one who bears our sins, it means that we have experienced the second birth. Eternal life is God's gift to all who acknowledge their need of a Savior and turn to Jesus in believing faith. So if you and I have heard the good news, ask us to go and share it. And that was what Jesus said, go into the world. You and I are told to go into the world. Share that news. God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. That is what the good news is about. Gospel is the good news. That whosoever believes in him will not perish, will have everlasting life. According to the book of Revelation, the church is a lampstand. So we as a church at Edgware here, Apostolic Church Edgware, we're also a lampstand. And what does the lampstand do? It bears the lamp. So, shine, we are to shine the light of Jesus Christ to our community. I pray that we'll continue to do so. May the Lord help us. Now, when Pastor Roy was talking last Sunday, he also said that people will say, with all the turmoil in the world, especially around Palestine, Middle East, Israel, where is God in all this? I was listening to a church leader who is in the Middle East. He lives in Ramallah, which is in Palestine. In that, because right now they've canceled Christmas festivities in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, in Ramallah, and in Palestine, and all that. But the man was being interviewed on Premier Radio on Friday, 22nd. And he said, when he was told to pray, he said, let me say this. We have only canceled Christmas festivities, but we cannot cancel Christmas. Why? Because he said, I had to put it down. Let me find it. I had to put it down. He said, Christmas, we cannot cancel Christmas because it is the story of the incarnation of God's solidarity with broken humanity. Here's a man there in the eye of the storm. He said, even though we cancel the festivities, the celebration and all that, but we cannot cancel Christmas because at Christmas, it is the incarnation of God. And it is the solidarity of God with broken humanity. We are a broken people. And broken people break people. Hurting people hurt people. Sinful people make other people sin. And who can rescue us? Who can deliver us? Who can save us from all our wretchedness? Scripture says, thank God for Jesus Christ. Paul said, the good things I love to do, that I don't do. The bad things I do not want to do, that is what I do. Who can rescue me from this wretched body? He said, but thank God for Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, we celebrate God's solidarity with us broken human beings at Christmas. That is the story. It's not the tinsels, it's not the stuffings, the turkeys. That's all good and all that. But it is as the light of Christ actually been shown through to you, and is it shining through your heart? I do pray for all of us and for those who might be watching online that this Christmas period you make a commitment. I have decided to follow this Jesus, no turning back. And if you are yet to make that decision, don't let this Christmas season pass you by without coming to know him who, for love's sake, became poor in order that you may become rich. Rich in deliverance, rich in salvation, rich in the goodness of God. As we are singing, your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender everything. Your goodness is running after me. You want to know the goodness of the Lord? Surrender your life to him. This Christmas season, let it be the best Christmas season ever that you've ever had. Lord bless you. Amen.